Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Can't kill me, I am a ghost. Can't shake me, I hold the road. Can't match me, I'm one of a kind.
Alrighty.
Scanning the frequencies.
Can't kill me, I am a ghost.
Yeah, you can't kill him. That's why. Shout out to Ryan Usher. Yeah.
All right. That was good. I like that intro. That was very good. Hi, guys.
That's
How you doing?
Hey, pretty
How
good.
How you doing? Pretty good, Seth.
That's great, man.
What a
really happy.
Fucking
really
good.
Good.
Oh, my God. What a week.
Grandkid weekend, man. It was so wonderful. Charges. Grandkids charge my batteries.
Aw,
like you wouldn't
so sweet.
Believe. They do.
That's
they
sweet.
They do.
No,
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I had a house full of children yesterday, and then, it was fun. It was fun, but I'm watching kind of, I don't watch TV, so to watch Netflix for 2 days was weird. All right, but anyway. Yeah. And David, how was your, thanks. How was your Thanksgiving?
How was my Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No. Okay.
Easter is just. No, nothing this special. I hung out here, played with the dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fun. Yep, that is fun. I hear my son out there. All right, but it's been one hell of a week. It was kind of rough this week for me, you know what I mean, because the Kurt Cobain thing. And then, my dad's birthday. But I got through it, you know. And a shout out to WMMR for helping me with that. I really appreciate it. You know, I'm serious.
Right.
They helped this week. Yes, definitely. You know, but otherwise from that, I mean, anything strange happening lately to you guys?
No.
And?
Make me stop and think.
Nothing. Well, I'm letting David. Nothing, David?
No, I can't think of anything strange that's happened. No.
How about you?
No. Not really, but as far as the weather went, that really powerful storm that came through, that real high winds. I'm missing about 13 or 14 shingles because my roof
Holy
is 25
shit.
Years old.
Oh, my God.
But that's okay. Let me tell you how I do that. I just collect them out of the yard, you know, just walk around. It's like Easter eggs looking for them. And then I buy that blackjack stuff at Lowe's, a 30-year blackjack. I get back on top of the roof, and I put a line of that, and I slip where the shingle flipped off the edge there. I pick the edge up, slide the shingle under with a nice black patch of blackjack, and problem solved.
Oh, yep. Exactly. Well, you know what? Yeah, it works. It works.
And it does work.
Whatever works.
Can't tell them. I do a good job. You can't. I used to be a roofer, and I actually was a roofer in 1985, and I actually did the real shingles. It didn't flip off, but the roof is probably about 1992.
Oh,
so,
my God. Yep.
Or 95 or something like that. I don't know. I just feel it's really old.
I fixed a cabinet door this week, and I literally, I fixed the cabinet door, and we have this island in the center that has the granite top, and they forgot to put, you know, like the slats in, you know, that has the open slats so you hold it steady. And
right.
I didn't have anything, so I decided to go into my rock collection, okay, and find my, like, Native American tools that I found over the years, and I used them, and it worked, and I fixed the countertop. I
That's
put it
cool.
in the slot, and it fit perfectly, and it doesn't shake no more. There
you
go. You
have to. When you don't have the money, you got to make, you got to.
Dude,
you know,
it's fine. It worked great.
You have to improvise. Necessity is the mother of invention.
Well, that's what, I mean, that's why they're good, and they won't break either, so they're good. I mean, I just went right in there, and it worked, and it doesn't shake or rattle anymore. I'm very proud of myself for using things that were from the earth, I guess you could say, for that.
Oh, wait, actually, yeah, something did strange happen. Saturday, it wasn't strange in a strange way, but it was more like cute. The squirrel in the yard came up. We have a bay window. And the squirrel got on top of our shrub, and Petey was looking at her, and they were having a staring contest.
Are you serious?
And it was just so funny. I'm telling you, Petey looked like a statue. And this squirrel looked like a statue. And they were just staring at each other like, and I mean, you could hear a pin drop. It got so quiet. With these two dogs, it's like a Lee Van Cleef kind of thing where he's staring down his opponent, you know.
Oh, I know. And, you know, they were waiting for each other to move. All
right.
And none of them was going to move first.
And then what happened is that I went, Petey, she looked, squirrel, bam. Petey's
exactly.
Where did it go, man? What'd you do that for?
Exactly. So I was like, thank you, dude. Thank you. I can now climb down off the bush.
But we got so much wildlife. I love it. I love animals.
Life. So nothing. I've had my speaker shut down, and I had to reload my Google speaker for it to only tell me, I wish I could help you.
That's the one that talks to you, isn't it? That gets fresh with you and stuff?
Yeah, no, not fresh. It does weird things. But this week was funnier because it shut down out of nowhere, and then I rebooted it, and I wasn't done rebooting it. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, it just starts blurting shit out. And then,
other
things. Yeah.
It took you a lot longer to reboot at that time.
Yeah,
time
it too. wouldn't do it right. And, like, it was really weird. But the way she said it didn't even sound like my Google lady. She was like, I wish I could help. I don't want you to feel this way. Or I wish you didn't feel this way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And when I said what, she answered me. And that don't usually happen.
Oh, God.
I said what?
And she said,
I wish I could help you. I was like, oh, God, help.
That sounds so 80s. 1-900. Remember the numbers? It's like, I'll be your friend on the other end.
Right. That's like, it was weird. And then, all right. And then before, like, you know, little things. I ran the box a few times this week. You know, just to get the gist of things, and it was pretty interesting. I recorded it, didn't listen back to all of it yet, though, you know, because time. You know what I mean? I got busy watching fucking Netflix. Like, it kind of took me away from it, you know? But no, strange things, I guess, always happen to me. Like, when I'm, you know what I mean? While I'm in the middle of doing something or something moves or... You know what I mean? Things like that. Just hear something, you know.
Is it just me, or does it, the vibe, not that I'm any expert in this, but the past 3 or 4 weeks, the vibe was all over the place. It's just like a total calm right now. I don't know why.
It just feels
like, maybe it was what Barry Taft was saying, a shout out to the great Barry Taft, and John Perkey that we had on last week.
Hi, John.
He was saying there was a solar storm. And you're the expert. Well, tell me how solar storms.
Okay.
You know where I'm going.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The sun, okay, was in what they call a solar minimum for a few years. So we didn't have a lot of, like, solar flares and stuff coming off the sun. But that minimum ended, and now it's in a solar maximum. So the amount of sunspots on the sun. Is like it's crackling, it's throwing filaments in the air, it's throwing off CMEs, and yes, we've been hit with a lot of them in the past month. I mean, I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but it certainly had a lot to maybe do with moods or the mechanics of things, maybe, but it's been quiet today, so to speak.
For me, it has. It's just like copacetic. It's been really copacetic.
Yeah. We had auroras, a northern lights that were visible where? All the way up, like, to western Pennsylvania, all the way, you know what I mean? And up to, I don't know, Well, a bunch of places.
Up in Erie, right?
Yep.
They had them in
Erie,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not
so it's, right. It's a little crazy. I'm waiting for the UFOs to come because this shit's crazy. I don't believe it was like 80-something degrees, and then it was like 40-something degrees, and it was 50, and then it's going to be 80 again in here this week here, which is really weird for April.
It is.
All right. I don't want to think about freaking July and August. I just want not if
well,
it goes this way. Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're due for a pretty hot summer. It's looking like we're going to be cooking.
Yep, we're going to have a lot of look, it was, are we kidding? We've been in, like, The Wizard of fucking Oz and the movie Outbreak for, like, I mean, Day After Tomorrow for the past
year. Yeah.
All right? Like, there's tornadoes in fucking New Jersey. There was 8 of them in New Jersey. What the hell? That ain't Kansas. Okay. I grew up in Jersey. All right?
Yeah.
I don't know tornadoes in Jersey like this. This was crazy. And one in Bucks County, and then one, I forget where else. Like, there was, like, when I saw that storm coming, I kind of, like, stayed quietly and watched my radar going, please go the other way.
when you think about it, Lisa, if New Jersey did get some serious tornadoes, it's the most populous state in the United States per person.
I know.
Per capita. And that would be that would be devastating because a lot of people would end up dying. I mean, a lot more per square mile or whatever, it'd be bad.
Yeah, I know that, thank God it didn't, like, well, it caused damage like shit, but I don't think anybody got hurt, except one lady died in Delaware, though. The house collapsed on her with the tornado.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep. Yeah, I feel really bad. That's crazy. But the weather is going to, you know, it's nice today. I'll take that. I'll take it for
now. I'm not mad at that at all.
No, I mean, no.
It was 65 up here today.
Oh, David got 65. Do the applause. My goodness.
Yay.
Wow, David finally got a thaw out. Jesus.
Yeah, now he's got a flood. Right.
Oh, yeah. Definitely do, because when I took Bubby out for a couple of walks today. First one this morning was okay. The ground was still, you know, kind of froze. But last time, I've got water coming off the mountainside behind me.
Oh, gee.
Which pulls up, it pulls up under a bush out here that my ducks used to go swimming in.
Mm-hmm.
And that runs itself into a little river on the side of the leach field, out to the ditch, and then down into the brook. And that's all soggy and sloppy as crap. The brook's all thawed out now, and it's starting to flow pretty strong. I'm waiting.
Oh, God. It's like a waterfall, right? That's what it would be like coming down off the mountain. Yep.
And I can't. There's still too much snow out behind the house to get up into the woods to check that old well.
Right.
But generally in the spring, when everything starts thawing, that old well of mine that nobody uses, it's not capped, but it flows completely over. I mean, it's just flooded back there.
You know what I did in the Poconos? I used to take, like, because, well, even in Perfume, but we had a moat. I mean, it was supposed to be in front of the house drainage, and it used to pile up like a moat because they did these stupid rocks wrong. And I climbed into the moat area, and I rearranged all the rocks. And sometimes if you do that, you can give the water a flow. You know what I mean? To get it away from you. You've done it too, right, with rocks, right?
Oh, yeah, when I was a kid, I did. Yep. I liked to play in the creek,
exactly.
The only way I could play with these rocks is to get a big excavator.
Have, like, little ones at all?
These are all minimum 500 pounds and more.
Well, we have them too, but they don't have little ones?
Back here. I got boulders in the back in the woods.
Were they just limestone or granite or what?
Granite.
Oh, now wonder.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's some beautiful rock, though. I love granite. It's pretty rock.
I know. That's like my countertop I just fixed. That's granite.
Don't take it for granted. It hurts like hell when you hit your head.
I've got four nice pieces of rectangular cut granite.
Yeah.
That I have no use for because I can't pick them up. I mean, shit.
Oh,
yeah. Oh,
they're heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
I know.
That's forklift fodder.
I think we had such great guests. I think Bobby Gallo and Mr. Barrett Taft and John Perkins was a great shout out to all of them. I mean, like, we had a pile up over the past 3 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we did.
And I like to do this more, you know?
I want to
definitely. You know what I mean? I'm going to get John to come back on, too. He's going to come back on with us. So we can talk more about the music thing with the paranormal, because I'm telling you, it goes hand in hand. I know it does.
Right. And that's part of what I was thinking, not just with the music and the paranormal, but going back and thinking on some of what Dr. Taft was saying about electromagnetic energy and being able to test the field around a human to be able to gauge what the EM output is of a human being.
How do you do that? Well, they can do that. They can do that when a person dies, I think, too, with the energy. It's I don't know how they do that.
Well, they have. I'm not sure if this applies, but back in the 80s or late 80s, early 90s, there was a study of people that had psychical, so-called quote unquote psychical energy, and they did what was called. You can Google this because I'm telling you this off the cuff because I'm driving. Galvanic skin response.
Oh.
So I would have to actually look up galvanic skin response and try to tag that into parapsychology, and it may already be a key word in the old study of parapsychology. Galvanic skin results were whenever there was positive charges with some meter they were using in the early 90s, late 80s. It was just they would test subjects, and I wish I'd have thought of that. I would have asked Barry if he knew what it was if I'd have thought of it. But galvanic, can anybody look up galvanic, G-A-L-V-A-N-I-C?
I can't find it at the moment.
Well, that's
me either. I'm in the studio.
But if anyone knows, if anyone out there knows, call the number if anyone knows.
No, never. Wait. If anyone knows what is going on here, call this number because the number that's listed on the thing may be wrong. So because we seem to have two different numbers out of nowhere. Okay. So the calling number is 619-639-4606. Okay.
Just
want to put that out there. And then if you can't get through on one, you can get through on the other one. You know what I mean? But with the energy force, like, I can feel people's, like I'm going to be honest with you. If a person, let's say I go out into the hallway, okay, and, you know, person walks by me, no problem. Then the next person comes by, and I want to go the other way. So their energy that they put off ahead of themselves lets me know that I want to go the other way. And I noticed that when, years ago, one day walking down the street, I said, why do I do this all the time? Like, I'll be fine, and then somebody, I'm walking past people, and then all of a sudden somebody coming, next thing you know, I'm crossing the street. So that must be their energy field, right? I mean, I can't think of anything else.
No, they would avoid you, too, right? They would feel you and get out of your way, or was it you?
No.
I took the fuck off for even that chance.
See, I don't think most people can sense that kind of energy themselves without actual scientific equipment. I mean, you know when you get around certain people, you get that just weird, creepy feeling about them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They can make you angry. They can make an argument happen. They even without saying a word, it just feels off. It feels tense and off, like if you're stuck with them. You know what I mean, around?
Yeah.
So it feels tense and it feels off. And then the minute they're gone and the energy in the room changes, you know? I mean, like, it's got to be that. You know, I mean, it's weird because it doesn't happen, and when it does happen, I can tell the difference, you know? Like, I guess you guys do the same thing, right?
I can be around certain individuals, and I can feel a vibe, and I can go somewhere and feel a negative vibe. So I'm a sensitive, so that kind of comes tooth and nail with me. But I don't know, David, how about you?
For the most part, you know, you kind of just... Even first meeting somebody or first talking to them, you kind of get a good sense right off the bat whether their energy is good enough or not.
Sometimes. So, not all the time.
Not all the time.
That's same here. Not all the time.
There are some people who hide their true energy and their true intentions way too easily.
Yeah, you trust their words instead of listening to your, to the, you're not paying attention to the right things. You're paying attention to the words of the people. That's the thing.
Right.
And they're, you know, but I can look in their eyes and know. So if that was the case, because I could tell you, like from looking at somebody, which is my gift. That's my gift. My gift is the eyes. I can see in them. You know what I mean? Not just,
yeah.
I don't just look at them. I can see what's going on inside a person by looking into their eyes, not at them, into them. I don't know if that makes sense. Does it?
Oh, no, no. It does make complete sense. I mean, even people who have, like, the worst intentions can put on the best external presence.
Right.
They can look like they're happy. They can look like they're the best person in the world to talk to. But, you know, like with you, you can see past that and right through.
Yeah,
and
into
the eyes to see what they're actually all about.
Yeah,
so yeah, I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, is definite. I'm paying attention to that from
that
now on.
Separates.
I'm against my gut.
Yeah, that catalogs the difference between an empath and someone who's just a sensitive. An empath can read deeper into someone, where a sensitive can just kind of feel, you know, like, well, at least this is my experience. I know I'm not an empath. Or at least I don't think I am.
You might be. I know
you are. You are.
Uh-huh.
And now there's no doubt in my mind you are.
Go ahead. Listen, when I was a kid, and like you know how you go to parties, you know, and everything's cool and copacetic, and you don't even see who walked in the door, the energy in the room would just drop.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Everything changed. You just turn around, and there's that one person that shouldn't
I didn't
be
have to look at them. They could walk past.
Yep.
And that's
yep.
the sensitive. But you look at them, and then you sense that deeper connection. That I believe that's – what do I know? But I'm just saying I believe that that's the difference where when you're an empath, you can reach deeper into what you're feeling. You know,
it's really something. I don't get it either. I just – I'm used to going with the flow now because, you know, between the box telling me shit, I'm trying to write it down. You know what I mean? Which, Walt hasn't been wrong yet, so I got to give him that. Not at all.
Everybody needs a Walter.
I know.
Everybody.
He hasn't been wrong yet. All right, so I gotta say that between, you know, like I'll know when I need to run the box. You know what
Lisa,
I mean?
Lisa, what does he look like?
Okay, I used to, when I saw him as a kid, because I used to see him as a kid. When I first saw him, he was young. He grew with me. As I grew, he grew. So, except he got way fucking taller. All right, but when I was little, he had long, like dark hair, it was long dark hair, and he wore like a I don't know what a chemise type shirt is, but kind of
a shirt like that. Yes, I do.
Yeah. And, all right, and then like the pants, like not Revlon, but something like that, I guess, but. And, you know, something along those lines. And he used to just talk to me. And then as I grew, he got a little bigger and taller. And then when I stopped, I got mad because my parents got divorced and then I didn't want to see him no more. And then so he came in dreams. And by the time I reached adulthood, he's really, really, really tall. Like really tall. I know I'm short, but he's really tall. And he has black, shoulder length, black, jet black hair and a really nice face. I mean, he looks like, you know what I mean? And he dresses basically the same way, sort of, as you did when I used to see him as a kid.
Right.
Well, David, maybe we could convince Lisa to draw Walter, and we can mass produce the Walter doll.
Oh my God! Imagine
Walter, Kurt Gilman's Will's favorite Walter.
Right, Walter. No, if we do a William Hound doll, it's got to say, I don't need this shit.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, they're going to get you.
I don't need this.
Your Selma is right behind you. You better straighten up.
Shit, I'm on Selma property. This was all Selma property. This was Selma Farm. This is where I'm sitting now was all part of Selma property.
Have you thought about doing, now, as you understand, spirit transcends the different, you know, through time. Is it possible you could possibly do a Frank's box on that property and see if you can get something that's tied into Selma just behind you.
Are you kidding me? Mrs. Bornant's Auntie Ruth from Selma talks to me from here.
Oh, really? You're hollering at her. Oh,
I'm like,
cool,
who's that?
Man.
It's Ruth. Yeah, it's Ruth. You know, but then again, she talked to me when I was in Port Gilmanville, so I think they have the ability to do that. But I'm here now, so it's like, it's different. Like I'm getting like names, and I'm like, wait a minute, isn't that from Selma? And like I'm realizing the names that come out. I'm like, damn, because we are on the property.
Any dreams
on the original?
Any dreams that you might consider to be where you're now living near there? Because I think you have a really strong connection to Selma. I really do.
Oh, definitely. Fort Mifflin, too. Forget it. That's the place. The last dream I had with Walter there, I knew I was dreaming, okay, because Walter was there. All right. I wasn't looking at him. I only saw his, like, shoulders inside because he was walking with me. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, I'm in the middle of a fort courtyard. And he took me up on, we walked across above casemate 1-5 onto by the wall above where the flag is facing the hospital building, but outward. And he told me, Lisa, look up. This is important. And I looked up and I saw two spiral galaxies spinning towards each other. And I said, what? He said, this is important. And I woke up. And I still don't get what that means.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't
that
know.
Was really, really weird.
But. That has happened.
It has happened. It's a dream. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They found spiral galaxies spinning towards each other. So it's important, okay? I don't know why, but it's important. All right? So I know.
Maybe,
stuff like that.
Maybe when those spiral galaxies actually collided, it creates some sort of a portal.
Oh, I know about the portal. Okay. Yeah, the gathering to the portal. The whole night. I have a whole list of laundry lists here. We've got a gathering that we need to have, and it's got to concern music. Mikey's got to be involved, and it's concerning a fucking portal. So there you go. But all right. But
not just a portal.
No, it's not just a portal. Well, no. What I see in case, what seven of us saw in casemate 4, it's that is what they're talking about.
Right.
Because when we were down there with Nick last time, hi Nick. All right, when we were down there with Nick last time, and Dawn and her kids and the boys, right. As soon as we went into casemate 4, he told me to go in casemate 4, so I did. And when I went halfway down, I could feel the energy in the casemate, so I kind of just stood there and let the box run in the other room. And then I still have to put this up. I do have it. And then as I come out, I asked Mikey to go in, and he could feel it too, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And they were saying that's where the energy is. That's where it is. And I'm like, okay. We know there's two, because Greg O'Brien, I love you, he's seen what we saw in 4, he saw in the Pattern Magazine. Okay?
Lisa,
yeah.
Would Greg be interested in coming on the show?
I've been meaning to
ask you that for six months, and you just brought his name up, and it just went click.
Listen, I would
Greg O'Brien and Mifflin. Oh my God, that would be so great.
We got stories to tell. We'll go into it later. But it's 5/11. He'll get it if he listens to this. And things like that, and you know, the whole judge thing. Because I remember.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were talking.
No, the judge loves to fuck with Greg O'Brien all
day. Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah.
Comes through on the show like, it's you, you nothing, man.
I think at this point it's become a joke, so it's funny, but like, yeah, it's just, it's great. I mean, the place is great, but things like that with Walter, the first time I went to the fort and I ran, well, not the first time I ran the box when John Ronge was there with Frank Fox 33, the other time that I brought the ghost box down into casemate 11 really for my first run. And we were like, William Howe, are you here? William Howe, are you here? We're like, I'm like, who's here with us? And all we heard was, it's Walter. And everybody looked at each other and said, who's Walter? I didn't know because I didn't call him that. Everybody's like, who's Walter? Is there a Walter? Nobody could figure it out. And then he just kept showing up every other box session. And then why I took it all over the country. Well, not all over the country. I didn't go that way. But like all over the East Coast.
I got to try to figure out a way. To send you something where when you're doing the box session, you can stream it live.
I could probably do that on Facebook Live. I think I could do that. I think you'll be able to hear it good if I did.
Well, I mean, they got
mm-hmm.
these. Yeah, actually, you're right. You can.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's
more
loud
modern
enough
than I thought.
Yeah, no, but it's loud enough. It's not like
it's
a regular
2011.
box. It's loud. I got a good volume on this box. Frank gave me a really good volume on it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't think we'd have to worry. You know what I mean? As long as there's no solar storms, you don't hear.
Hey, live podcast. That's really good audio, too. We could do, like, a live
that would work.
video podcast thing and
Wait, you know what? We could even have people ask questions, but getting an answer out of them sometimes, I mean, like we'll be asking them one thing, and they'll be like, no, it's important. This is what's going on, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, we could try it. You know what I mean? They might.
Yeah, well, whatever. You might can try it.
Yeah, we could try it. I think maybe if people ask questions or if they recognize or, like, something that they say, you know, like me, you know what I mean? Like a lot of times when I take the box all the time, who am I kidding? I'm not going to lie to you. Every time I take the box somewhere that's a public investigation, we wind up not talking to the ghost. We wind up talking to somebody that wants to talk to somebody in the room every time.
Yeah.
All right. So it seems like at least one or two people at night, if that's the case, that will get a message that comes through that got to do with them. You know what I mean? We're, I guess, you know, a loved one, you know, or something like that, which is kind of cool, you know? I do think that's cool. Of course, we could still talk to the spirits in a mansion, or like a brother with Selma and the fort, but you know what I mean? But still in all, usually a message comes through. And that's really cool. That's why if we do this and somebody's, like, watching it and they hear their name or, you know what I mean, or they hear something that makes sense to them, they should tell us.
Lisa,
you know what
do
I mean?
You think, yeah, do you think if one spirit guide can it can handle more than one person? Do you think
one spirit guide
may be attached to other people and not just one person?
I'm going to tell you, more than one, each of us. But Walter, when right before Frank died, like a month before Frank Sumption passed away, he told me, he called me, and he said to me, I wanted to tell you this. And I said, what? He said, I've been hearing Walter for years. He's been telling me that you were coming. But I wanted to make sure that you were the right Lisa.
That's beautiful.
And I knew it. And I kept saying all the years on this post, that's Walter. I hear him in your thing. That's Walter. I kept saying to him. And you know what I mean? Like on the comments when I used to listen to his box, I'm like, I hear Walter. I was like, but he had heard him. So maybe Walter's like a, you know, center stage. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Somebody that, you know, like that
you said the other one of our shows or something, you was saying something about where it sounded like he was crossing a spirit. Is that what I remember hearing?
Look, everybody heard it at Selma. We were up in the hallway. I've heard that multiple.
Oh, yeah, that was back in February.
I knew it was a while back.
But there's been multiple times on that. Like, we've been running the box here, and all of a sudden we hear some new voice come in, and then we hear Debbie go, Walter! All the time, Walter. And then you hear Walter, and the person says their name, and then all of a sudden he says, "Come on, let's go." And then
Walter disappears, and it happens multiple
times.
Okay,
like where suddenly somebody, oh look, there's somebody that runs, that's receptive, maybe like an antenna, you know, you know what I mean, to, you know, so that Walter, but Walter takes him wherever the hell to go, and I don't know where that is. It's through the light. That's all I know.
Yeah,
right.
That's all I need to know. I don't know what that means because we don't know
where they are. I sure don't either. I have a big question mark.
Yeah, I know that we go on, so wherever the hell we go on, because I know they can still talk. So, all right, like no matter if they cross up, like my dad came through on an EVP. Well, he told me. My dad told me. He said, Lisa, if it's like what we believe, because me and him believe the same thing, what we believe, when I cross over, I'm going to make sure I find a way to come back and tell you. And six months after he died, he did. I was in the middle of a Laurel Hill Cemetery in Philadelphia doing an investigation.
Yeah.
And I came home and listened to the audio, and there's my dad's voice going, Lisa, how are you? And I knew. I was like,
that's
holy shit.
Neat. That's pretty cool.
So if it's like we thought, Dad, then you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If it's like we believed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, I don't know. It's just weird. Yeah, I've been doing this shit for years. How long have you been investigating, you guys?
David?
20 years-ish.
Yeah. Right? And Fabian, I know, we yeah.
Since 1976, sweetheart.
Yep, yep. And that's how, but did you investigate or just spark your
No. Not meaning for it to be an investigation. Those that don't know my story, I'll go ahead and give a little, give a little bit to give context to what I'm about to tell you. I had an incident, the very first paranormal incident I ever had in 1976. It was in a giant bathtub, and there was a vanity mirror hanging to my left, and there was a spirit form. It started out as a ball, and then it turned into a what looked like a little girl, and there's this little girl staring at me, so I'm freaking out. The bathroom's getting cold. I didn't believe in any of this, but there was a lot of stuff going on around the house, and part of me was like, okay, that's what it is. Everybody leaves me in the house, this giant 11-room, 3-bath house out in the middle of the country that's obviously haunted. Right. And this is where when you have a closed mind and it happens, you're meant. It's meant for it to happen to you. That's what I believe. When you don't believe in that stuff and it just comes out and it connects with you and it makes you a believer, then that's when you're, I believe that you're meant to have that incident happen. Well, because that happened to me, me being a little kid, and by the way, I jumped out of that giant bathtub and went flying out of there, slipping on the hardwood floors. These are old tongue and groove, really old tongue and groove shellac floors. I'm slipping and sliding, soaking wet, and about fell down the stairwell, getting out of that bathroom. And after all that, and I'm trying, you're, you know, when something like that happens to you, you're questioning, you're like, I'm just a little kid, right? I'm 7 going on 8 years old, and I'm trying to figure out what in the hell just happened to me, you know, and I'm trying to quantify or whatever the word is, trying to put together what just happened. So the noises kept going on around the house for a little while after that, so it was really wanting to reach out to me, okay? So, and then everything just kind of died off, but I knew that we had this librarian, and by the way, shout out to all the librarians out there. You are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in the library for all through my elementary years, and doing nothing but reading about spirits and ghost stories, whether they were fiction or nonfiction. But let me go back to that story. Right after that happened, the librarian, Mrs. Wilson, at our school, shout out to El Campo Elementary in El Campo, Texas. And I went to her because she used to tell the Halloween stories. You know, you remember when we were all little, they would get us all together and
they
tell us Halloween. That's great. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell you, okay, well, anyway, get everybody together and tell you the story. Well, I knew she was into that, and I knew it was all that creepy stuff. So I reached out to the librarian. That's when I believe I initiated my first investigation by asking someone who thought had more knowledge than me, being afraid to do it, but I did it. I actually asked the librarian if she believed in that stuff, and she said, oh, yes. And then we got to talking, and she said, and I said, well, I think the place I'm living at haunted. I think it's got a, I saw something. I don't want to tell anybody. I said, please don't tell anybody. She said, I'm wrong.
Right.
And she, I said, well, what house do you live in? And I told her the old Pierce house. And she's like, you live in that house? And that, to me, is the second level of investigation. You got confirmation of some type of historical connection to someone that has lived there all their life, because that's what she said. I've lived there all my life, and I've heard stories. So that's the second part of investigation. You're getting confirmation about the particulars of a location. The third was evidentiary, where you actually solve what I believe we solved the mystery, because she wasn't just the librarian. She was also, she worked at the city hall, and she had access to a microfiche machine in the school there. So she said, let me look into what I believe, you know, what I remember when I was a kid. And she pulled up this article from, like, 1947, and it talked about Shanghai Pierce's granddaughter or whatever died in the bathtub.
Right.
So his granddaughter.
See, and that's where you used that?
And that was confirmation of a potential haunting and why it was being haunted. So that's 1976. So I established asking people questions. I established gathering information of local experience, and then I established potential highly probable evidence as to why it was haunted. So I can actually say, without even thinking twice about it, that I have, and because after that, guys, I mean, after that, I'm like, wow. That's, I mean, what would y'all do if that happened to y'all? Just curious. What would you do if you found out?
Go ahead. I've seen some shit. Go ahead. Oh, God. What were you saying if you found out what?
Well, I'm just saying if you found out that where you were living and you were able to do all that and you were like 8 years old, wouldn't you say that was your first investigation? Would you?
Well, I would say that was your first experience with, like, really paranormal.
But we believe we solved it. So
why is David calling me? Hold on.
That's an investigation. And you're looking into why you're seeing this thing.
Are you here?
No. I'm here.
David? Oh, what happened?
I don't know.
He got time. What the hell?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I have no idea. They suddenly dropped.
You should have called the show number back, though. Yeah, not, you know what I mean? Not this one. Glad I didn't lose the audio. So wait, my first physical investigation with a audio recorder, which was a cassette player, was actually in 1990 with the recorder. But before that, my whole world was paranormal. But my first, like, I had to record it. Oh, look at this. Hold on. Hello, you're here now, sir? You both got booted. What the? See? Wait a minute.
Okay,
David got booted, then you got booted. Oh, my God,
yeah.
That's really weird. All right, but...
That's
the
first time for me.
Yeah, I know.
How does it feel?
The thing with the... Yeah, really, how does it feel to be booted out? I'm just sitting here going, what the fuck? But
it's
crazy
the
when
I
go back and
like
think
that,
about it.
The reason I believe that that's an investigation is because we looked into it.
You did
and
the
that's
history.
Looking in, that's, and that's researching, and we got history out of it. I got answers, in my honest opinion. Right after that, it didn't happen anymore. But I didn't, suffice to say, I didn't go back up into that bathroom at all. I never went back in there.
Oh,
again.
I don't blame you. All right, no, I don't blame you. Like, I lived in a house in Freehold. About that.
So
a Freehold did it then. 1977.
Hey, my friend Mark used to live there in Freehold. That's a crazy place.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God. That's a great town, though. I mean, but it's an old town, and the house I lived in was already 250 years old.
Awesome.
All right, so, yeah, it was when I was a kid, when my parents divorced, and my mom moved us in there. It was my stepdad's-to-be's house, okay? And it was really, like, yeah, it was at the point where, I'd be sitting at the, like, table trying to have something to drink, and the pots and pans would start shaking. One starts shaking on the stove and then fly off the stove. No, it was crazy. All right.
Oh,
that reminds me of that song.
Remember, what was the name of that band that, about a new house, a haunted house, our house today? Because drinking out of the frying pan ain't no house.
Oh, I don't know that one.
I have no idea. I've never even heard that.
We missed that
man.
One.
It's called Sam Sham and the Pharaohs. Shout out to Sam Sham and the Pharaohs. It's called The Haunted House. I gotta cue that for the show next week. And I can't remember the words, but I had the 45 on a record player when I was a kid. And ain't no hate's gonna run me out. Ain't no hate's gonna run me off.
No, but I mean, when you think about look at how we were raised, all of us, though. Like, well, me, no, I was a walking paranormal family, but and we all reach this point and level now where we're all, you know what I mean? It became part of our existence and part of what we do, and you know, and it has an effect on our lives, you know, and the way we look at things, you know, and you know, how it kind of changed our perspective.
That's the
a little
I
bit. I mean, a lot of
earlier.
It.
Mm-hmm. That would happen to me. That's why. Oh, go ahead, David.
I was going to say, I'd have to say it changed perspective a lot, not just a little bit, with some of the things that I have had happen or have seen happen. So,
yeah.
Now, it changes the way you think, the way you look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It does.
And that, Lisa, he just said is exactly why I feel that was my first investigation, because I decided to look in to what a ghost was, what a spirit was, what it meant, just a little boy reading, trying to find out what all that meant, and then talking to someone who obviously knew quite a bit about it. In fact, I couldn't have went to anyone better than she was such a great resource.
Yep.
And that, to me, we investigated it in her office on a microfiche and solved it. So, to me, that's always going to be not just my first paranormal encounter, but that I actually did some research to try to understand why it was going on.
And that's the best part. And I'll tell you, people miss that. A lot of people, when they do the investigation, they don't do a historical research on what they get.
No,
you did not,
and that's
you
a shame.
Did. I
yes,
know.
I did. I did.
It is a shame.
Not on purpose.
Yep, it
she
is a shame.
She told me about it. So,
that's what they're supposed to do. That's what I've been doing. I'm good at it too. I do historical research all the time. And when you start to get things, even if it's something like people will say, "Oh, I went to the house. I didn't get a spirit from there." Blah blah blah. They said,
maybe that person, the name
they gave you, maybe it's connected to the house. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member. And they don't. And the only way to find that out is if you research it.
Exactly.
And
you have to get evidence, and evidence isn't just audio recordings or video. You've got to find hard copy evidence of what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do the historical research.
And it goes
along
with
always
the paranormal evidence. That's what I did with William Howe.
I got exposed to that kind of way
of doing
it. I did
this with William.
I've always done that.
I'm looking forward to the Ford event because this is the first time that people are going to see what my research was, because it makes complete sense now.
I got a question about the Ford. Who do you think the screaming lady was that scared the Philadelphia police?
Can I be honest with you? That scream comes from without, outside of the Fort walls. It does not come through. It's weird. It comes over the wall and permeates through the whole entire fort, except when you're in the soldiers' barracks, you cannot hear it, which is right there.
It makes
no sense. I don't know why.
Wow.
But
okay, that's
to go through it's through the entire
that's
fort. It's like a blood-curdling, it's like a blood-curdling freaking scream.
I thought it came
from behind
the
officer's
fort.
Court. Maybe it's on the wall behind the fort, but see, the officer's quarters is right there, and the scream comes from behind there, so it could be on the wall or below the wall, but it comes from behind there. That's definitely where it comes from, but it goes through the entire fort, except the soldier's barracks, which is right next to the officer's quarters. If you're inside, you don't hear it.
That's wild. Okay.
It's everywhere. It could be the wall. Maybe whatever happened on the wall. You get what I mean, right?
Yeah.
It could be
inside, behind.
Yeah. But it's behind the officer's quarters. So it's really, really weird. And yes, it did scare the police. And yes, they left because they had just searched all the places.
Yeah, they scared the hell. That video is like comedy. It's so funny.
It is
they
funny.
They take off
but
running
it's true,
like little kids.
It's the fact, though, it's crazy because, you know, I've heard it. I heard it twice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, clearly. Like, where you're like, oh, my God. Like, I've seen people stop dead in their tracks while they're walking, put their feet up in the air and just balance. Like, what the fuck? And then we have to do a head count because it was public investigation. We'd have to call everybody up for a head count, make sure nobody was hurt. That's it. It's that bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
That's what we did. We had to take a head count, make sure everybody was there. But in the fort, I was using a box one time, and this is what changed my whole perspective. It was back in like 2009 or 10-ish, I think. When I got on the ghost box, I got this sentence: "This is not a game. I'm a person." And ever since I got that line, it made sense to everything made sense. It's not a game. Mm-hmm. And people got to stop treating it like a fucking game because it's not a game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's not.
We know some
and
names
I
out
there
that they got.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got some come up.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. Keep talking. Keep talking. I'm agreeing with
you.
On that
one. Yeah.
You're right.
100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah, somebody's fixing to get
game.
Nailed.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm not saying names because I don't drop names, but we all know.
Yep, and it's not a game, and people keep playing this game, and they're stupid. What they're doing when they, number one, when they play this game, the you know, everything's a fucking demon or whatever they're doing, and
right.
And doing all that, what they're doing is ignoring the actual things that need to be heard, inventing their own,
mm-hmm.
and creating negative energy at the same time.
Right.
It's bringing all of those things in. Okay.
And, Bobby Gallo, another shout out to an amazing new friend.
Hi, Bobby.
And an amazing investigator. He had brought up the point that, was it him that had talked about someone waving a wand near a REM pod or something? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
Someone was caught waving a wand at a REM pod or something like that? And they caught him in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what I mean.
Sorry.
You can't.
I mean,
you
it
you
is.
You shouldn't have to. You don't have to fake evidence if you're really investigating.
That reveals
no,
every single one of us out here.
And
that
I know.
I think. Yeah, definitely. When you're out there and you're screwing around, you think it's a game. You're out there just for personal ego.
Yep.
All you're eventually going to
money.
Do is destroy. Well, you're just going to end up destroying the paranormal field. Because
that's right.
Sooner or
that's
later,
what I was
somebody's
just saying. That's
like,
toxic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're just doing this. They're doing that. And
mm-hmm.
at the same time, those people who are going in there and they want to make it all negative, make it all demonic, make it all.
Yeah,
on
they just
want to
get. That's just a TV show.
Yeah.
You
but
know what I mean?
I think the eventuality
is
entertainment, blah, blah, blah.
It's going to become not entertainment because eventually the more they build up, the more they build up that negative appeal and the more people want to go and feel that negative energy and see this demon or this negative spirit.
Yep.
And they're coming in with that expectation. They're feeding into that negativity, which could eventually take on a life of its own.
Right, a topa.
Yeah, a topa.
Yep, and you know what, though? I have a message for all these paranormal people out there. Stop fucking hurting each other. Stop going on each other's thing. Stop telling each other off.
Yeah.
Stop making fun of people for what they do. Knock it off. You look stupid as shit, okay? And you can't do that because it's not going to advance this field anymore, okay? All you're doing is making yourselves look like a fool. Leave people alone.
Yeah.
Work together as a team. No matter what you do, work together. Nobody's better than anyone else, and nobody has all the answers in this field. No one does. It's a learning experience each time, and I'm tired of it.
I couldn't have said it more beautifully. Well said.
This will be a field of study that nobody will ever have the answers to.
No.
Yeah.
And the more we work against each other, the more we don't know, and the more we don't learn. So Joe Smo might do this, and Bobby over there might do something else. And you might say, what is he doing? But you know what? And you go over, and maybe together you could actually get some answers.
What happened to lab? What happened to creation? What happened to get? Remember when we were kids and we had a lab partner that we may have not really liked, but If we wanted to get the result, we would overcome that. If we really wanted to get that result, and then we start learning shit about each other. How about we stop competing and start coalescing
learning.
And start brainstorming and sharing ideas?
How about get rid of the egos, because the egos can drag you down into hell.
Egos get
period.
Narcissism
ego.
Gets on my
ego,
nerves.
Ego, ego. If somebody harasses somebody, they're either A, jealous. Look at they're either jealous of them when they do this. They're either jealous of a person or they want to be them. Those are the only two reasons why people attack each other.
That's right.
That I'm convinced of that. And you know what?
Oh, yeah.
More power to the people that stand up and say, I don't give a fuck what you think, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing because they'll fall. Mm-hmm. Yep.
People right now that are flipping.
Mm-hmm.
And the dickheads deserve it.
I know.
And I don't drop names, but we know who it is, and we are. Mm-hmm. We just want to say, if you're listening, we know who you are, and we're very proud of you. You keep pushing
I'm
on.
Very proud. And you know what?
Yeah.
Especially the women. I got to say to the women in this field,
rock star.
Don't take no shit from any man
anybody.
Stand up
rock
and look them in the face and say, go on, keep coming. Because you know what happens? They're going to go down, and you're going to still be standing strong. So let them go and let them fall down, because they will. And, of course, you know, you'll get trolls that use 10 different profiles, and they come attack you for 10 different names. So, you know, you'll figure that out sooner or later. It's all the same person, most likely. And it's usually somebody you know. So that seems to be the way that things go. And so just be good to each other. Love each other. Man, you know what I mean? Animals are better than us, if we really think about it. They are better than we are.
They definitely are.
Look at dogs, for instance. Well, I love dogs, but we don't.
Well, you know,
them.
The thing I'm concerned about, and I've got to throw this out, and I may be poking the bear here, but I've been trying to think to say this forever and a day, and it just came back to me. As we begin to expose said individuals, they're gonna.
Mm-hmm.
It's like poking a rattlesnake. They're gonna strike back.
Oh, I know.
And you're gonna begin to see this dichotomy in the paranormal, where you've got people that claim, oh, it was just entertainment, and others, it's research. When did it stop being both?
Right. It's supposed to be fun.
Why does it have
to have a good time?
Yeah, it has to. Because the paranormal is
but
entertainment,
they're not.
Mind you. But
look,
it is also
everybody's
research.
Everybody's got to stand up. And say, I don't give a fuck what you think, because your comments don't mean anything. I'm continuing my research. Right. And do what you got to do. Those people that don't want to do it. Yeah.
Right.
They don't belong in the field. My opinion, they do not belong in the field. If they want to harass people, they need to go somewhere else and harass people. Go back to high school. Go back to be a bully in high school, because that's what it seems like. And,
and just because they have a big name, there is no reason – in hell why somebody shouldn't call them out. And I guarantee you, they've been playing that shit with enough people, you're going to have enough people come together and call them out together. Class action.
But you don't even need to do that. The funniest thing with a situation like that, if you stand up and say, I don't fucking care, they usually shut up. Because if you don't care what they think, you get what I mean? But then, of course, everybody else will start to notice
it. Oh, no,
it. So
but
there
see,
you go.
It's the toxicity. Mm-hmm. It's the toxicity factor.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much as whether or not you care or not. It's the fact is what they're doing around the other people that do, that are trying to become more involved in the paranormal. So it causes a great disruption, and that's all I'm addressing. You can not care all day, but what about all the other people that are trying to figure out what the paranormal really is? You know, you got a lot of people coming into this field, and they're being led by the wrong people when they should be following their own path to their own research instead of following everyone else's, you know, thing.
Everyone is
I said it. I finally said
she's
it.
She's yelling at me.
Yay!
Yep.
She's yelling.
She's yelling in my ear.
Hey, we love you guys.
With this.
I know it's that time,
but
peace be
it's
with you.
Go
with God and don't
seconds.
Take any wooden nickels.
and don't take no shit. There you go.
Maybe the forces of evil become confused on the way to your house.
Yes, and love each other. Stop the bullshit, man.
Stop
the bullshit. Love each other. Look at your animals and the way that they are. Look at your dogs and the love they have. Start loving people.
Oh, I love my dogs.
And love each other that way. Yeah, and love each other. Look at them. They're far better than us. So, I mean, really, we should take a lesson from our animals and our pets, you know, and treat each other good. All right, guys, we've got 14
Treat 10, each other
with
respect.
It's countdown.
Respect.
Yes. Love each other. All right.
LiveParanormal.com, everyone. Don't miss a show.
Okay, we love you guys. All right.
Have
a
good night.
Bye.
Have a good night.